Paul on Mars Hill. They loved the guy. He was a great act until he got to the Resurrection of the Dead. I'm here for the Resurrection of the Dead. No, that was in Jerusalem. He talked about judgment, Paul did. He talked about judgment, and they all laughed at him. The Epicurean and the Stoic philosophers laughed Paul off the stage because nobody wants to hear about judgment. Nobody wants to hear that there is a day on which your course will be curtailed, the record book will be closed, only to be opened again, and you will be judged according to your acts, according to your deeds. And now, we are not judged. We come in, we give an account of ourselves. We're not judged. But the people who will die in the indignation, many of the world, many of the worshipers of the wild beast, they will rise at the great white throne. That's the general judgment. General judgment is not in Matthew 25. That's the judgment of the nations. So the general judgment, which we're going to get into when we get to Revelation 20, occurs for the benefit of the dead, the small and the great, all the dead who have died, who have not been vivified. But the point here is that judgment is a thing that intervenes. It is an intervening event. Humanity doesn't like to think that God is going to interrupt their precious little plans. You remember that one line? Oh my gosh, it was so funny. I can't remember any of the people in this movie or the name of the movie. Chris, what's that fat guy? Chris Farley. And the movie was Billy Madison. And he went back to school, Billy Madison did, as an adult. And the guy playing that movie was in a bunch of bad movies. I can't remember his name. It's not worth remembering, but he was funny in this movie. Chris Farley says, "I'll stop this bus right now, and it'll end your precious field trip. I'll end your precious field trip right now." Well, humanity's on a field trip. And because 2,000 years have passed and things have gone on swimmingly, give or take a few wars, give or take a few comets here and there, some minor disruptions, things have gone along swimmingly. And so humanity thinks that judgment is a joke because God has not intervened. And judgment is a joke because we haven't seen judgments. Any of the judgments we've seen up to this point can be attributed to natural causes. Well, that barn burned down, the lightning came, but the lightning came because of the electricity between the cloud and the ground, or the cloud and the cloud, or the cloud and the roof, or the cloud and the whatever. And so, you get lightning. And same with floods. Well, there was a lot of rain, and the rain comes from the clouds, it's condensation. People attribute it to natural phenomenon. But ladies and gentlemen, there was a disruption of the world a long time ago. After the creation of the first earth, it was disrupted. You couldn't attribute it to a nasty spell of weather. This was worse than El Nino. Nobody came on the radio at the end of Eon 1 and said, well, 100% chance today of a total wiping out of our planet. And by evening we will be covered with darkness, water shall cover the face of the dark shall cover the face of the water, and so on and so forth. Stay tuned for the 9 o'clock news for details. No, there was no 9 o'clock news. There was no 8 o'clock, 7, 6, 5. I don't care what hour you assign the news, it didn't happen. Because there was a great event called the disruption of the world. And after that, there was an event called the flood of Noah. And the people soon after that first earth, when Adam came, the people, well, there were no people on the first earth. But after the creation of Adam, who knew about the disruption? Well, whoever wrote the book of Genesis recorded the disruption. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, but the earth became a chaos and vacant. How did that person know that? Some people think Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. I think that possibly Adam wrote the first book of the Bible up until he died. Why not? Why wouldn't Adam be the author of the creation? God told him there was a disruption. It's a helpful thing to know that none of us are here permanently, that it came to pass. It didn't come to stay. And that we are looking at a time in history in our near future that will surpass the events I just mentioned, namely the disruption of the world and the flood of Noah. And unfortunately, this is all part of the Aeonian evangel. I thought I was done with the Aeonian evangel. What a crazy dream that was. Because part of the Aeonian Evangel goes like this, verse 7 of chapter 14 of the unveiling. Fear God and be giving glory to him, seeing that the hour of his judgment came, and worship the maker of heaven and the land and the sea and springs of water. And we know that the world does not worship the maker. Evolutionists do not worship the maker unless they attribute the Big Bang to a maker. He is the capital M maker of the Big Bang. Most people want to get God out of the public consciousness. Then there are Christians. They don't have this problem, except they have another problem, in that the God they worship is not the true God. He is a God who is on the run from the devil, trying to make up for things Satan does, trying to patch up his universe and make the best of an epic failure. Number one failure, Satan got into the Garden of Eden. Number two failure, the cure God sent, Jesus Christ, fails on application. Unless, of course, you happen to be wise enough to believe in him, and few people are wise. In fact, Paul gives us the secret in Romans 3 that no one is wise enough to choose God. In fact, they have all gone out of the way. No one righteous, no one is seeking God. So this entire judgment that's coming is based on the desire of humanity to push God from his universe and the desire of Christians to trade the true God for a cardboard cutout, a freak of nature, a caricature who has lost control of his universe. So we're still on the Aeonian Evangel. And now we're going to talk about pseudoscience. Part of me likes the Natural History Museum in Washington, D.C. I've been there several times, but it is a worship center for evolution. Now, when an astronomer looks through his little telescope and views the heaven, he is awed by the order which pervades those starry spheres. There is an order. However, in the midst of this regularity, there are some disturbing signs of discord in the heavens. Even amateur telescopes have picked up a debris field. There's a debris field between Mars and Jupiter. There's supposed to be a frickin' planet between Mars and Jupiter, but this planet was shattered. It was destroyed. Instead of a planet between Mars and Jupiter, the careful astronomer will find fragments. This is the asteroid belt. Fragments. I wonder what happened to the little planet between Mars and Jupiter. It was destroyed by some tremendous, I think it's a safe word to use, cataclysm, which broke that poor little planet. You're right, it might not have been little, it might have been huge, into innumerable parts. And no one dreams. Here's the thing. No one dreams that this asteroid belt was the result of some long, slow evolutionary process requiring millions of years. It didn't take millions of years for the cute little planet between Mars and Jupiter to turn into a cute little debris field. It was like, and the creation, I will say, this was just as sudden, just as drastic, except in this case, it cohered. It cohered. God spoke it into existence, and it might have made just as impressive a noise at its creation as the cute little planet between that's supposed to be between Mars and Jupiter made when it was destroyed, when it was struck by an asteroid, it became a series of asteroids. Something big happened, and it was the destruction of the world. And it didn't take a slow evolution. It was undoubtedly a sudden catastrophe. Might I call it a disruption? A disruption so tremendous that, well, you see the results in the asteroid belt. And there's so many other pieces of space junk out there. And again, the overriding point is that we live in relatively peaceful times, and our little earthly community is asleep to impending judgment, just as those inhabitants of Noah's day were asleep to impending judgment. So you can find similar symptoms of epic, sudden, transformative tragedies all throughout the solar system, moons, several moons are out of the plane of their planet's rotation, and some actually revolve in the opposite direction. Can't think of which one it is now. I'm not an astronomer, but it's noted, and it's of note that some moons are going their opposite way. It's like the disobedient child. Everybody else has gone clockwise. What's your problem? You got to go counterclockwise. You have to be different. You have to be different. Well, it's the moon's just going, it's not my fault, you know. I was spun out of, I wanted to go clockwise, but I was struck by the sudden jarring motion. And so it's been tremendous things going on out there. Comets, wandering stars, rushing into the solar system, out of the solar system, threatening everybody with destruction. I love this. It's very exciting. As you know, I want to be threatened with destruction. I'm tired of living. So, I get these exciting reports once in a while that a giant asteroid, we talked about this way back when, will be approaching Earth, and I'm ready to open a champagne bottle. Oh, yeah. Bring the action. So there's much evidence, and you have to be a partial moron to conclude that it's never going to happen again. To conclude that the space junk that we see, well, look at the moon. Just get a telescope at Walmart and look at the moon. You can see craters. Aren't they pretty? The craters? Those craters are the results of multiple strikes. And the Earth has been struck in ancient times, before I believe there was humanity on the Earth. There's a giant crater in Arizona. A lot of the craters are, you can't even see unless you have infrared photography from space. I should find some of these photographs that I've seen of infrared photography of showing giant craters just under the Earth's surface. The one in Arizona is actually visible. You can walk around the rim of this thing or ride your bike and do whatever you want. Have a picnic inside of the crater. I don't care. But, you know, you can decorate the crater. You can plant grass. You can put little tiki torches around the crater. And all you're doing is you're acting in denial of the fact that we will be cratered once again. We will be shelled. We will have the hell shelled out of us by divinely directed space objects that will strike us at impressive velocities. This is what people are oblivious of. And this is why the Aeonian evangel comes. Worship the God. Now, this is a lame evangel in any other world. Worship the God of who makes the seas and the earth and the streams and the rivers. That evangel, if you believe it, it will not get you saved today. You can't be saved for Aeonian life simply by believing, yeah, God made the oceans. I believe that. Satan believes that. It's stupid. No, that's not. But in that day, the spiritual level is going to be so low that that counts for salvation in that day, in the day of indignation. If you believe that, it's a major accomplishment. Good job, man. You believe that God made the sea. Wow. Put this guy on Jeopardy or something. Put him in the showcase on The Price is Right. It'd be amazing in that day to just admit that. And it's amazing for scientists to admit that they could be wrong. None of them do. They're all arrogant nincompoops. They believe in evolution, and they believe in this. Oh, we're going to talk about the Earth and its gradients. You know, oh boy, geologists. The worst science out there is geological science. Talk about morons. These people are stupider than the evolutionary quote scientists. But the word science doesn't deserve to be placed next to the word evolution, and the word science likewise doesn't deserve to be placed next to the word geology. They have all these neat little time periods we have been through. All these periods, all these ages. And it took millions and millions and millions of years. No, it didn't. You remember, just as I said, that we are not going to be reformed on this earth through a protracted period of development of human character and by education. No, it's a sudden coming of the kingdom, like a rock described in Daniel, that comes off a mountain and destroys everything in its path. That's how the kingdom's going to come. That's how the earth is destroyed. Bang, bang, bada bing, bada bang, bada boom. That's my translation of the disruption and the coming kingdom. Bada bing, bada bang, bada boom.